Gerusalemme Liberata. Part 2 of Book 19. The sun nigh set had brought to end the day, when Vafrin went the pagan host to spy. He passed unknown a close and secret way, a traveller false, cunning, crafty, sly. Past Ascalon he saw the morning grey step o'er the threshold of the eastern sky, and ere bright Titan half his course had run, that camp, that mighty host, to show begun. Tents infinite and standards broad he spies, this red, that white, that blue, this purple was, and hears strange tongues and stranger harmonies of trumpets, clarions, and well-sounding brass. The elephant there brays, the camel cries, the horses neigh as to and fro they pass. Which seen and heard, he said within his thought, hither all Asia is, all Afric brought. He viewed the camp awhile, her site and seat, what ditch, what trench it had, what rampire strong. Nor close nor secret ways to work his feet he longer sought, nor hid him from the throng, but entered through the gates, broad, royal, great, and oft he asked and answered oft among, in questions wise, in answers short and sly. Bold was his look, eyes quick, front lifted high. On every side he pryed here and there, and marked each way, each passage and each tent. The knights he notes, their steeds and arms they bear, their names, their armor, and their government, and greater secrets hopes to learn and hear, their hidden purpose and their close intent. So long he walked and wandered, till he spied the way to approach the great pavilion's side. There, as he looked, he saw the canvas rent, through which the voice found eth and open way from the close lodgings of the regal tent and inmost closet where the captain lay, so that if Emerino spake, forth went the sound to them that listen what they say. There Vafrin watched, and those that saw him thought to mend the breach that there he stood and wrought. The captain great within bare-headed stood, his body armed and clad in purple weed. Two pages bore his shield and helmet good. He, leaning on a bending lance, gave heed to a big man whose looks were fierce and proud, with whom he parleyed of some haughty deed. Godfredo's name as Vafrin watched he heard, which made him give more heed, take more regard. Thus spake the chieftain to that surly sir. "Art thou so sure that Godfrey shall be slain?" "I am," quoth he, "and swear ne'er to retire, except he first be killed, to court again. I will prevent those who with me conspire, nor other guerdon ask I for my pain, but that I may hang up his harness brave at Gare, and under them these words engrave. These arms Ormondo took in noble fight from Godfrey Proud, that spoiled all Asia's lands, and with them took his life, and here on high, in memory thereof, this trophy stands." The Duke replied, "Ne'er shall that deed, bold knight, pass unrewarded at our sovereign's hands. What thou demandest shall he gladly grant, nor gold nor guerdon shalt thou wish or want. Those counterfeited armors, then, prepare, because the day of fight approacheth fast." "They ready are," quoth he. Then both forbear from further talk. These speeches were the last. Vafrin, these great things heard, with grief and care, remained astound, and in his thoughts oft cast, what treason false this was, how feigned were those arms. But yet that doubt he could not clear. From thence he parted, and broad waking lay all that long night, nor slumbered once, nor slept. But when the camp, by peep of springing day, their banner spread, and knights on horseback leapt, with them he marched forth in meet array, and where they pitched, lodged, and with them kept. and then from tent to tent he stalked about to hear and see and learn this secret out. Searching about, on a rich throne he fanned Armida, set with dames and knights around. Sullen she sat and sighed. It seemed she scanned some weighty matters in her thoughts profound. Her rosy cheek leaned on her lily hand. Her eyes, love's twinkling stars, she bent to ground. Weep she or no, he knows not, yet appears her human eyes, even great with child, with tears. He saw before her set Adrastus grim, that seemed scant to live, move, or respire. So was he fixed upon his mistress trim, so gazed he and fed his fond desire. But Tisipherne beheld now her, now him, and quaked sometime for love, sometime for ire. And in his cheeks the colour went and came, for there wrath's fire now burnt, now shone love's flame. Then from the garland fair of virgins bright, amongst whom he lay enclosed, rose Altamor. His hot desire he hid and kept from sight. His looks were ruled by Cupid's crafty lore. His left eye viewed her hand, his face her face his right. Both watched her beauty's hid and secret store, and entrance found where her thin veil bewrayed the milken way between her breasts that laid. Her eyes Armida lift from earth at last, and cleared again her front and visage sad. Midst clouds of woe, her looks which overcast, she lightened forth a smile, sweet, pleasant, glad. "My lord," quoth she, "your oath and promise past hath freed my heart of all the griefs it had, that now in hope of sweet revenge it lives. Such joy, such ease, desired vengeance gives." "Cheer up thy looks," answered the Indian king, "and for sweet beauty's sake appease thy woe. Cast at your feet, ere you expect, the thing. I will present the head of thy strong foe. Else shall this hand his person captive bring, and cast in prison deep." He boasted so. His rival heard him well, yet answered not, but bit his lips and grieved in secret thought. To Tisipherne the damsel turning right, "And what say you, my noble lord?" quoth she. He taunting said, "I that am slow to fight will follow far behind the worth to see of this your terrible and puissant knight." In scornful words this bitter scoff gave he. "Good reason," quoth the king, "thou come behind, nor e'er compare thee with the prince of Ind." Lord Tisipherne shook his head and said, "Oh, had my power free like my courage been, or had I liberty to use this blade, who slow, who weakest is, should soon be seen. Nor thou, nor thy great vaunts make me afraid, but cruel love I fear, and this fair queen." This said, to challenge him the king forth leapt, but up their mistress start, and twixt them stepped. "Will you thus rob me of that gift," quoth she, "which each hath vowed to give by word and oath? You are my champions, let that title be the bond of love and peace between you both. He that displeased is displeased with me, for which of you is grieved, and I not wroth?" Thus warned she them, their hearts for iron nigh broke, in forced peace and rest thus bore love's yoke. All this heard Vafrin as he stood beside, and having learned the truth, he left the tent. That treason was against the Christian's guide contrived, he wist, yet wist not how it went. By words and questions far off he tried to find the truth. More difficult, more bent, was he to know it, and resolved to die, or of that secret close, the intent to spy. Of sly intelligence he proved all ways, all crafts, all wiles that in his thoughts abide. Yet all in vain the man by wit essays to know that false compact and practice hid. But chance, what wisdom could not tell, bewrays. Fortune of all his doubt the knots undid. So that, prepared for Godfrey's last mishap, at ease he found the net and spied the trap. Thither he turned again, where seated was the angry lover twixt her friends and lords. For in that troop much talk, he thought, would pass. Each great assembly store of news affords. He sighted there a lusty, lovely lass, and with some courtly terms the wench he boards. He feigns acquaintance, and as bold appears as he had known that virgin 20 years. He said, "Would some sweet lady grace me so, to choose me for her champion friend and knight? Proud Godfrey's or Rinaldo's head, I trow, should feel the sharpness of my curtlax bright. Ask me the head, fair mistress, of some foe, for to your beauty wooed is my might." So he began, and meant in speeches wise further to wade, but thus he broke the ice. Therewith he smiled, and smiling gan to frame his looks so to their old and native grace, that towards him another virgin came, heard him, beheld him, and with bashful face said, "For thy mistress, choose no other dame but me. On me thy love and service place. I take thee for my champion, and apart would reason with thee, if my knight thou art." Withdrawn, she thus began, "Vafrine, pardie, I know thee well, and me thou knowest of old." To his last trump this drove the subtle spy, but smiling towards her, he turned him bold. "Ne'er that I wot I saw thee erst with eye, yet for thy worth all eyes should thee behold. Thus much I know right well, for from the same which erst you gave me, different is my name. My mother bore me near Bisertus' wall, her name was Lesbine, mine is Almansor." "I knew long since," quoth she, "what men thee call, and thine estate. Dissemble it no more. From me, thy friend, hide not thyself at all. If I betray thee, let me die, therefore. I am Erminia, daughter to a prince, but Tancred's slave, thy fellow servant since. 2 happy months within that prison kind, under thy guard, rejoiced I to dwell, and thee a keeper meek and good did find. The same I am, behold me well." The squire her lovely beauty called to mind, and marked her visage fair. "From thee expel all fear," she says, "for me live safe and sure. I will thy safety, not thy harm, procure. But yet I pray thee, when thou dost return to my dear prison, lead me home again. For in this hateful freedom, even and mourn, I sigh for sorrow, mourn and weep for pain. But if to spy, perchance, thou here sojourn, great hap thou hast to know these secrets plain. For I, their treasons false, false trains can say, which few beside can tell, none will betray." On her he gazed, and silent stood this while. Armida's slights he knew, and trains unjust. Women have tongues of craft and hearts of guile. They will not, fools that on them trust. For in their speech is death, hell in their smile. At last he said, "If hence depart you lust, I will you guide. On this conclude we here, and further speech till fitter time forbear." Forthwith, ere thence the camp removed to ride, they were resolved, their flight that season fits. Vafrine departs, She to the dames beside returns, and there on thorns a while she sits. Of her new knight she talks, till time and tide to scape unmarked she find. Then forth she gets, thither where Vafrin her unseen abode. There took she horse, and from the camp they rode. And now, in deserts waste and wild arrived, far from the camp, far from resort and sight, Vafrin began. 'Gainst Godfrey's life contrived, the false compacts and trains unfold aright. Then she those treasons, from their spring derived, repeats, and brings their hid deceits to light. 8 knights, she says, all courtiers brave there are, but Ormond strong, the rest surpasseth far. These, whether hate or hope of gain them move, conspired have, and framed their treason so, that day when Emiren by fight shall prove to win lost Asia from his Christian foe, these, with the cross scored on their arms above, and armed like Frenchmen, will disguised go, like Godfrey's guard that golden white do wear. Such shall their habit be, and such their gear. Yet each will bear a token in his crest, that so their friends for pagans may them know. But in close fight, when all the soldiers best shall mingled be, to give the fatal blow, they will keep near, and pierce Godfredo's breast, while of his faithful guard they bear false show. And all their swords are dipped in poison strong, because each wound shall bring sad death ere long. And for their chieftain, wist I knew your guise, what garments, ensigns, and what arms you carry. Those feigned arms he forced me to devise, so that from yours but small or naught they vary. But these unjust commands my thoughts despise. Within their camp, therefore, I list not tarry. My heart abhors I should this hand defile with spot of treason or with act of guile. This is the cause, but not the cause alone. And there she ceased, and blushed, and on the main cast down her eyes. These last words scant outgone, she would have stopped, nor durst pronounce them plain. The squire, what she concealed, would know as one that from her breast her secret thoughts could strain. "Of little faith," quoth he, "why wouldst thou hide those causes true, from me, thy squire and guide?" With that she fetched a sigh, sad, sore, and deep, and from her lips her words slow trembling came. "Fruitless," she said, "untimely, hard to keep. Vain modesty, farewell, and farewell shame. Why hope you restless love to bring on sleep? Why strive you fires to quench sweet Cupid's flame? No, no, such cares and such respects beseem great ladies, wandering maids them not esteem. That night, fatal to me and Antioch town, then made a prey to her commanding foe. My loss was greater than was seen or known. There ended not, but thence began my woe. Light was the loss of friends, of realm or crown, but with my state I lost myself also, ne'er to be found again. For then I lost my wit, my sense, my heart, my soul almost. Through fire and sword, through blood and death, Vafrin, which all my friends did burn, did kill, did chase, thou know'st I ran to thy dear lord and mine, when first he entered had my father's place, and kneeling with salt tears in my swollen eyne, 'Great prince,' quoth I, 'grant mercy, pity, grace. Save not my kingdom, not my life,' I said, 'but save mine honour. Let me die a maid.' He lift me by the trembling hand from ground, nor stayed he till my humble speech was done, but said, 'A friend and keeper hast thou found, fair virgin, nor to me in vain you run. A sweetness strange from that sweet voice's sound pierced my heart, my breast's weak fortress won, which creeping through my bosom soft became a wound, a sickness, and a quenchless flame. He visits me. With speeches kind and grave, he sought to ease my grief and sorrow's smart. He said, I give thee liberty, receive all that is thine, and at thy will depart. Alas, he robbed me when he thought he gave. Free was Arminia, but captive her heart. Mine was the body, his the soul and mind. He gave the cage, but kept the bird behind. But who can hide desire, or love suppress? Oft of his worth with thee in talk I strove. Thou, by my trembling fit that well couldst guess what fever held me, saidst, thou art in love. But I denied, for what can maids do less? And yet my sighs, thy sayings true, did prove. Instead of speech, my looks, my tears, mine eyes told in what flame, what fire thy mistress fries. Unhappy silence! Well, I might have told my woes, and for my harms have sought relief. Since now my pains and plaints I utter bold, where none that hears can help or ease my grief. From him I parted, and did close upfold my wounds within my bosom. Death was chief of all my hopes and helps, till love's sweet flame plucked off the bridle of respect and shame, and caused me ride to seek my lord and knight, for he that made me sick could make me sound. But on an ambush I mischanced a light of cruel men in armor clothed round. Hardly I scaped their hand by mature flight, and fled to wilderness and desert ground, and there I lived in groves and forests wild, with gentle grooms and shepherd's daughters mild. But when hot love, which fear had late suppressed, revived again, there nood I longer sit, but rode the way I came, nor e'er took rest, till on like danger, like mishap I hit. A troop to forage and to spoil addressed encountered me, nor could I fly from it. Thus was I ta'en, and those that had me caught Egyptians were, and me to Gaza brought, and for a present to their captain gave, whom I entreated and besought so well that he mine honour had great care to save, and since with fair Armida let me dwell. Thus taken oft, escaped oft I have. Ah, see what haps I passed, what dangers fell, so often captive, free so oft again. Still my first bands I keep, still my first chain. And he that did this chain so surely bind about my heart, which none can loose but he, let him not say, Go, wandering damsel, find some other home, thou shalt not bide with me. But let him welcome me with speeches kind, and in my wonted prison set me free. Thus spake the princess. Thus she and her guide talk day and night, and on their journey ride. Through the highways Vafrino would not pass, a path more secret, safe, and short he knew. And now close by the city's wall he was, when sun was set, night in the east up flew. With drops of blood besmeared he found the grass, and saw where lay a warrior murdered new. That all be bled the ground, his face disguise he turns, and seems to threat, though dead he lies. His harness and his habit both betrayed, he was a pagan. Forward went the squire, and saw whereas another champion laid dead on the land, all soiled with blood and mire. This was some Christian knight, Vafrino said, and marking well his arms and rich attire, he loosed his helm, and saw his visage plain, and cried, Alas! here lies Tancredi slain!" The woeful virgin tarried, and gave heed to the fierce looks of that proud Saracine, till that high cry, full of sad fear and dread, pierced through her heart with sorrow, grief, and pine. At Tancred's name thither she ran with speed, like one half mad or drunk with too much wine, and when she saw his face, pale, bloodless, dead, she lighted, nay, she stumbled from her steed. Her springs of tears she looseth forth and cries, "Hither, why bring'st thou me? Ah, fortune blind! Where dead for whom I lived, my comfort lies, where war for peace, travail for rest I find. Tancred, I have thee, see thee, yet thine eyes look not upon thy love and handmaid kind. Undo their doors, their lids fast closed sever. Alas, I find thee, for to lose thee ever. I never thought that to mine eyes, my dear, thou couldst have grievous or unpleasant been, but now would blind, or rather dead, I were, that thy sad plight might be unknown, unseen. Alas, where is thy mirth and smiling cheer? Where are thine eyes' clear beams and sparkle sheen? Of thy fair cheek, where is the purple-red, and forehead's whiteness? Are all gone, all dead? Though gone, though dead, I love thee still. Behold, death wounds but kills not love. Yet if thou live, sweet soul, still in his breast, my follies bold, ah, pardon love's desires and stealths forgive. Grant me from his pale mouth some kisses cold, since death doth love of just reward deprive. And of thy spoils, sad death, afford me this. Let me his mouth, pale, cold, and bloodless, kiss. O gentle mouth, with speeches kind and sweet, thou didst relieve my grief, my woe, and pain. Ere my weak soul from this frail body fleet, ah, comfort me with one dear kiss, or a twain! Perchance, if we alive had happed to meet, they had been given which now are stolen. O vain, O feeble life, betwixt his lips outfly. O, let me kiss thee first, then let me die! Receive my yielding spirit, and with thine guide it to heaven, where all true love hath place. This said, she sighed, and tore her tresses fine, and from her eyes two streams poured on his face. The man revived, with those showers divine, awaked, and opened his lips a space. His lips were open, but fast shut his eyes, and with her sighs, one sigh from him upflies. The dame perceived that Tancred breathed and sighed, which calmed her grief some deal and eased her fears. "Unclose thine eyes," she says, "my lord and knight. See my last services, my plaints and tears. See her that dies to see thy woeful plight, that of thy pain her part and portion bears. Once look on me. Small is the gift I crave, the last which thou canst give or I can have." Tancred looked up and closed his eyes again, heavy and dim, and she renewed her woe. Quoth Vafrin, "Cure him first, and then complain. Medicine is life's chief friend, plaint her most foe." They plucked his armor off, and she each vein, each joint and sinew felt and handled so, and searched so well each thrust, each cut and wound, that hope of life her love and skill soon found. From weariness and loss of blood she spied his greatest pains and anguish most proceed. Naught but her veil amid those deserts wide she had to bind his wounds in so great need. But love could other bands, though strange, provide, and pity wept with joy to see that deed. For with her amber locks cut off, each wound she tied. O happy man, so cured, so bound! For why? Her veil was short and thin, those deep and cruel hurts to fasten, roll, and blind. Nor salve nor simple had she yet to keep her knight on live. Strong charms of wondrous kind, she said, and from him drove that deadly sleep. That now his eyes he lifted, turned, and twined, and saw his squire, and saw that courteous dame in habit strange, and wondered whence she came. He said, "O Vafrin, tell me, whence comest thou? And who this gentle surgeon is, disclose." She smiled, she sighed, she looked, she wist not how. She wept, rejoiced, she blushed as red as rose. "You shall know all," she says. "Your surgeon now commands you silence, rest, and soft repose. You shall be sound. Prepare my guerdon meet." His head then laid she in her bosom sweet. Vafrin devised this while how he might bear his master home ere night obscured the land, when lo, a troop of soldiers did appear, whom he descried to be Tancredi's band. With him, when he and Argant met, they were. But when they went to combat, hand for hand, he bade them stay behind, and they obeyed, but came to seek him now, so long he stayed. Besides them, many followed that inquest, but these alone found out the rightest way. Upon their friendly arms the men addressed a seat whereon he sat, he leaned, he lay. Quoth Tancred, "Shall the strong Circassian rest in this broad field, for wolves and crows a prey? Ah, no, defraud not you that champion brave, of his just praise, of his due tomb and grave. With his dead bones no longer war have I. Boldly he died, and nobly was he slain. Then let us not that honor him deny, which after death a lonely doth remain." The pagan dead they lifted up on high, and after Tancred bore him through the plain. Close by the virgin chaste did Vafrin guide, as he that was her squire, her guard, her guide. "Not home," quoth Tancred, "to my wonted tent, but bear me to the royal town, I pray, that if cut short by human accident I die, there I may see my latest day, the place where Christ upon his cross was rent, to heaven perchance may easier make the way. And ere I yield to death's and fortune's rage, performed shall be my vow and pilgrimage." Thus to the city was Tancredi borne, and fell on sleep, laid on a bed of down. Vafrino, where the damsel might sojourn, a chamber got, close secret, near his own. That done, he came the mighty duke before, an entrance found, for till his news were known, naught was concluded mongst those knights and lords. Their counsel hung on his report and words. Where weak and weary wounded Raymond laid, Godfrey was set upon his couch's side, and round about the man a ring was made of lords and knights that filled the chamber wide. There, while the squire his late discovery said, to break his talk none answered, none replied. "My lord," he said, "at your command I went and viewed their camp, each cabin, booth, and tent. But of that mighty host the number true expect not that I can or should descry. All covered with their armies might you view the fields, the plains, the dales, and mountains high. I saw what way soe'er they went and drew, they spoiled the land, drunk floods and fountains dry. For not whole Jordan could have given them drink, nor all the grain in Syria bread, I think. But yet amongst them many bands are found, both horse and foot, of little force and might, that keep no order, know no trumpet sound, that draw no sword, but far off shoot and fight. But yet the Persian army doth abound with many a footman strong and hardy knight. So doth the king's own troop, which all is framed of soldiers old, the immortal squadron named. Immortal call it is that band of right, for of that number never wanteth one, but in his empty place some other knight steps in when any man is dead or gone. This army's leader, Emerino hight, like whom in wit and strength are few or none, who hath in charge, in plain and pitched field, to fight with you, to make you fly or yield. And well I know their army and their host, within a day or two, will here arrive. But thee, Rinaldo, it behooveth most to keep thy noble head, for which they strive. For all the chief in arms or courage boast, they will the same to Queen Armida give, and for the same she gives herself in price. Such hire will many hands to work entice. The chief of these that have thy murder sworn is Altamor, the king of Samarcand. Adrastus, then, whose realm lies near the morn, a hardy giant, bold and strong of hand. This king upon an elephant is born, for under him no horse can stir or stand. The third is Tisipherne, as brave a lord as ever put on helm or girt on sword. This said, from young Rinaldo's angry eyes flew sparks of wrath, flames in his visage shined. He longed to be amid those enemies, nor rest nor reason in his heart could find. But to the Duke Vafrine his talk applies. The greatest news, my lord, are yet behind, for all their thoughts, their crafts and counsels tend, by treason false, to bring thy life to end. Then all from point to point he gan expose the false compact, how it was made and wrought, the arms and ensigns feigned, poison close, Ormondo's vaunt, what praise, what thank he sought, and what reward, and satisfied all those that would demand, inquire, or ask of aught. Silence was made a while, when Godfrey thus, Raimondo, say, what counsel givest thou us? Not as we purposed late next morn, quoth he. Let us not scale, but round besiege the tower, that those within may have no issue free to sally out and hurt us with their power. Our camp well rested and refreshed, see, provided well against this last storm and shower. And then, in pitched field, fight, if you will. If not, delay, and keep this fortress still. But lest you be endangered, hurt, or slain, of all your cares, take care yourself to save. By you this camp doth live, doth win, doth reign. Who else can rule or guide these squadrons brave? And for the traitors shall be noted plain, command your guard to change the arms they have. So shall their guile be known, in their own net so shall they fall, caught in the snare they set. As it hath ever, thus the Duke begun, thy counsel shows thy wisdom and thy love, and what you left in doubt shall thus be done. We will their force in pitched battle prove. Closed in this wall entrenched, the fight to shun, doth ill this camp beseem, and worse behove. But we their strength and manhood will essay, and try, in open field and open day. the fame of our great conquests to sustain, or bide our looks and threats? They are not able. And when this army is subdued and slain, then is our empire settled, firm and stable. The tower shall not yield, or but resist in vain, for fear her anchor is, despair her cable. Thus he concludes, and rolling down the west, fast set the stars, and called them all to rest. End of Book 19.